John's going to do a Bible reading for us. Thank you, John.
Bible reading. 1 Thessalonians 3, 6-13. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that we always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith, for now we really live. Since you are standing firm in the Lord, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our Lord God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow with each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones.
Thank you, John. It's a real pleasure to invite Alistair up here to come and speak with us, and he's going to lead communion as well. Alistair has been very, very good to us. He's a real good friend to us.
Amen.
It's lovely to have him again. So may you know God's blessing, God's anointing as you speak and share, Alistair. Thank you.
Should I raise this a bit? Would that sound a bit of a toll? Is that better? Is that okay? Lovely. Hi, good morning, everyone.
Good morning,
Alistair. Oh, it's really nice. Nice to be with you today. And I think you got a new zapper, have you? So that's all very good, isn't it? Right. So we've heard quite a lot of what's been happening in the past week, haven't we? You know, and some of it's been really good. We heard about the visa coming through, and that's a whole difficult business, isn't it? So that's lovely when something nice like that happens. And then we heard also about the dog having to be put down, and that's really sad, isn't it? And life is filled with kind of good things and difficult things, isn't it? You know, and quite often life is, you know, we come across challenges, don't we, in life? And one of the things I wanted to kind of ask is, when we come across challenges in life, what do we do? How do we face them? How do we manage? If you go into yes, that's, have you been reading my sermon notes? Eh? I can just go and sit down and then we can all go home early. Yeah, that's right. We try to do something about it and try to ask God for help, but we don't always do that, do we? So sometimes, if you go into one of these big bookstores like Waterstones or whatever, there's probably going to be a big section that says self-help. And some people, when they face challenges, they try to help themselves. So we heard about Svetlana, was it, who said that when she came here, she trusted in herself. She wasn't trusting in God or in anyone else. And sometimes as we go through life, we do try to rely on our own ability when we face challenges and things. And I want to suggest that there's a better way when we face challenges. There's a better way of going about it. And in our reading this morning, we heard those words of the Apostle Paul when he says this to the Thessalonian Christians. The end of that passage, he says, "May God strengthen your hearts." May God strengthen your hearts. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, because I guess as individuals, we you know, we sometimes go through difficult times. And even in the life of a church, you know, we can, from time to time, we can go through difficult stuff. And maybe this past, I don't know what, 6, 9, 12 months has not been very, very easy for you guys as a church. And what I want to do this morning, therefore, is just to reflect a bit on how God strengthens our hearts. So if you think of yourself as a Christian and you're following Jesus and stuff, I don't know how you imagine that you're going to grow and become more like Jesus, or maybe even become a better Christian. But it doesn't happen, in my experience, it doesn't happen automatically. And sometimes wish it did, but it doesn't happen automatically. And we don't automatically grow and mature as Christians. There's a verse in the book of Revelation that says this. It says, "Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die." This is God speaking, and he says, "For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight," not God speaking, "in the sight of my God." It's the Apostle John speaking. He says, "Wake up, strengthen what remains." And so I want to reflect this morning, or help us to reflect, on how God might strengthen us. And I want to suggest he does that by, we can be strengthened by God by doing three things: by dwelling in God's word, by resting in God's presence, and by journeying with God's people. Psalm 119 says this. I think this is a wonderful verse, because it's if you like things to be easily understood like me, then maybe you'll like this verse. It says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." God's word, the Bible, is a lamp to guide our feet and a light for our path. Don't know if you've ever been out, in the countryside, and at night time, and there's no street lights or anything, and it can be very dark. And what you need is a light, don't you? If you've ever maybe been camping, and you come back and you're in the dark and you're trying to dodge the guy ropes and not fall over and all sorts of things, you need a light, don't you? You need a torch or something to help you to see the way forward. And what this verse is saying is that the Bible, God's word, is something that helps us to see our way forward and helps us to know the best way to live. And I think, Simon, did you say you're doing the Practicing the Way course just now? Is that what you said? Yeah, and I'm doing the Practicing the Way course. And it's written by a man called John Mark Comer. And he says a very interesting thing. He says that no matter who we are, whether we're a Christian or not a Christian, wherever we are, he says we're all being shaped by something or someone. So for example, if we may watch the television and we see stuff, and one of the things that can happen is we begin to think in the same way as what's being shown on the television screen, or if we read a book or a newspaper or whatever. And so for us as Christians, if we want to be allowing God to strengthen us, then it's really important for us to allow God to shape us. And he does that through his word by the Bible. And so I want to suggest this morning that if we're going to know the strengthening of God, the help of God, then we need to be smart and we need to learn to see things God's way, look to God to help us, like you were saying. Psalm 119 says this, "By your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself and I'll never turn back from living by your righteous order. Everything's falling apart on me, God. Put me together again with your word. Festoon me with your finest sayings, God. Teach me your holy rules. That's a great prayer, isn't it, to pray? To learn to see things God's way. Somewhere else the Apostle Paul talks about this in the book of Romans. He writes, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind is by taking on board God's word, the Bible. Now, you've probably heard thousands of people come here and say a similar thing to that over the years. Now, I think one of the things I'm beginning to learn is that that is true, but I think there's more to it than that. If I want to allow God's word to shape me, I've got to become intentional about it. I've got to really kind of apply myself to it. I remember as a young Christian, as a teenager, and then we were taught in church, it's really important to read your Bible. So I would read my Bible last thing at night. And then, so if I read it on the Monday night, and then coming on to the Tuesday night, I would think, what did I read last night? Can't remember. I was reading it, but it wasn't doing anything. And it was almost like a bit of a superstitious thing. I better read my Bible or God won't like me very much or something like that. And so reading the Bible is really important, but what we want to do is, as we read the Bible, we want to allow it to shape the kind of people that we are. And I guess these days there's different things that we can do. There's different things we can do. So different things we can use. So I don't know if you've got a mobile phone, if you've got a smartphone, then one of the things that we can do is. So there's this thing called the discipleship cycle, and we've developed that. The team that I'm part of, we've developed that, and it's a helpful way to read the Bible and to reflect on what the Bible is saying. So the idea is that we read the Bible, and then a little passage in the Bible, and then we ask, what is God drawing my attention to in this? What is God really wanting me to hear in this passage? And then to ask the question, and what am I going to do about it? So for example, maybe my wife might say to me on a Wednesday evening, she may say to me, excuse me, she may say, it's Wednesday evening, the bins get collected in the morning. Now, I got the information. She's not really interested so much in whether I've got the information. She's interested in whether the bins will be put outside at the front of the house. And so what we can do is sometimes we can read the Bible, but we don't do anything with it. And, you know, I think I'd like to suggest that it's much better to, I don't know, some people might say, oh, I'm really good at reading the Bible. I read 5 chapters a day. Well, that would be really good. But if you read 5 chapters a day and it doesn't change you at all, that's not very helpful, is it? You'd be better reading 5 verses a day and then trying to allow those things to shape the kind of person you are. So we've got this resource here. And it's got this other one. So even though we developed this one, this is the one I use personally. And it's called Lectio 365, and it's a kind of spoken, guided meditation. And some of us may like that better, you know, than just reading something on our own. And then you've got other thing, the thing up there in the top left, that's the little booklet that Premier Radio produce. And one of my friends, a man called Jonathan Edwards, he's the person who writes the daily Bible readings in that. So, to be honest, whatever one you use, that's not really the issue. But it's important for us to really commit to taking on board what God is saying to us. Now, I imagine that some of us will be going, oh, I hate reading books. Oh, I hate reading books. And, you know, reading is not for all of us, is it? But if you're not much of a reader, then it's still important to try and take on board what God says in the Bible. And so maybe getting together with someone else, or maybe a couple of people, to either read the Bible together or to listen to the Bible being read is really important. And so what I'm trying to say here is that reflecting in the Bible is really, really important. Not to read it is important, but to allow it, to reflect on what it's saying and to allow it to change our lives. To ask ourselves, what is God saying to me in the passage here? And what am I going to do about it? Now, why am I telling you this? Am I telling you this because I'm like a headmaster and I'm wagging my finger at you? Not at all. I'm telling you this because I know that if I want to be strengthened by God, if I want to know the help of God in my life day to day, it's the Bible that helps me to begin to see things God's way and to begin to try to live in that way. So that's the first thing, by dwelling in God's word. That's one of the ways that God strengthens us. Another way that God strengthens us, I suggest, is by resting in God's presence. I thought it was a little picture going to come up there, but it appears not. Okay. By resting in God's presence. Oh, there she is. Sorry, it was a twiddling picture. Okay. I'm fancier than I realized I was. Okay, by resting in God's... So in our lives today, there's lots of distractions, aren't there? You know, there's lots of... And I have to confess, I'm a bit of a shocker with this because I don't like to be bored, so I quite like to be distracted. I'm forever looking at my phone or whatever, you know. And so as I'm saying these words to you, I'm kind of looking in the mirror and they're bouncing back and hitting me in the face. But today there's lots and lots of things to distract us, aren't there? And I think I'm coming to realize more and more that if I want to know God's kind of help in my life and to know God's strength from day to day, then I need to kind of step away from some of those distractions and just get some space to try to give God a chance to speak into my life. To make some space to listen to God and to what he might want to say to me. Over the years I've met different people and some people say, oh, God speaks to me a lot. I think I hear God's voice quite a lot. And then there are other people who will say, oh, I never hear God's voice. I never hear God speak to me. I don't have a clue what that's about. And maybe if we're like that second group of people, maybe one of the reasons we don't ever hear God's voice or get a sense of what God is saying is because we've filled it so full of other stuff. So I wonder, what would it look like for you maybe to take, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes every day to put your mobile phone away, to switch the telly off, to switch the radio off, or to put your iPad away, or whatever your thing is, put away your puzzle book or your word search or whatever your particular thing is, and maybe just spend 5 or 10 minutes in quiet, listening to what God might want to say to you. And even to do that after you've read the Bible, to maybe think about what was written in the Bible or what you heard if you're listening to the Bible being read. And then thirdly, the third way that I think God strengthens us is by bringing other people around us, by journeying with God's people, as I've put it here. One of our difficulties is, and this may be particularly the case for some of us, but one of the difficulties that we have is we quite often like to do things on our own, don't we? We quite often like to kind of go it alone. It's a verse in the book of James that says this, once it stops spinning. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Now, I don't know you that well, but and this may not be true of you, and if it's not true of you, then forgive me for wasting your time. But sometimes, as I go from around different churches, and I see people that come in, whether they're meeting in a church building or in a nice community centre like this, and the people will come in and they'll say, "Oh, hello, how are you?" What's the response? Fine. Fine, thank you. Lots of people are fine, thank you. And we put on this kind of mask, don't we? And then if somebody actually tells us how they're feeling, we don't know what to do. We get a surprise. What about this? Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other. Good morning, how are you doing? Had a bit of a difficult week. I've done lots of things that I'm ashamed of. It'd be great, wouldn't it, if we could take off our mask and be honest with one another. But the thing is, you can only be honest with other people if you know they're going to love you and seek to help you. There's a great verse in the book of Hebrews that says this. I'm sure there is. I've obviously done one twirling box and now everything's twirling. You know? It says, is this the right one? Right. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Rather than having a go at one another, rather than condemning one another, encouraging one another, spurring one another on to good deeds. You see, if we want to be strengthened by God, it won't help us if we just kind of plough our own furrow and just go ahead on our own. We want to make sure that we don't journey alone. That verse that was twirling around a few seconds ago, in the Message, a modern paraphrase of the Bible reads like this. So let's do it. Let's come into the presence of God. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see God's big day approaching. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. You know, one of the potential blessings of being part of a church, of a group of people like this, is that we are able to come alongside one another and help one another out. But being honest with one another really helps in that process, or else we can never really get to the heart of who we are. Another verse that's that is in the same vein is from 1 Thessalonians, and it says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow, from the passage today. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. So what does this look like, or what might it look like in practical terms? One of the really annoying things about preachers is they sometimes they rab it on from the front, don't they? But they don't actually give us any practical stuff. So I'm trying not to be annoying and give you some practical stuff, okay? So I wonder how can we journey together? How might we spur one another on towards love and good deeds? How can we better encourage one another? Well, maybe by meeting in a small group. I don't know what your situation here is in the church, if you have any small groups or just one or whatever, but maybe meeting with other Christians in a small group and being honest with one another and seeking to love one another and support one another and help one another. Another way of doing it, there's no one special way, there's no kind of silver bullet, but another way of doing that is maybe to meet with another person or a couple of people and to be praying together and to be sharing honestly about the challenges of life and the joys of life. There's that verse, isn't there, in the New Testament, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Or maybe even one way is to have a kind of a peer mentoring kind of relationship with another Christian where you meet regularly and you share with one another and pray into each other's lives. And like I was saying a minute or two ago, it's really important to be real with one another, to be gracious, and to keep the toys in the pram. Do you know what I mean by that? Sometimes if you have a go at me or whatever, and then I get, can I say get my knickers in a knot? I suppose I can. I've said it now, haven't I? It's not too bad. And chuck the toys out the pram. And then, I'm not speaking to you again because you said this or that, or you did this or that or the other. So important to learn to be loving and gracious with one another. And then, I'll flick on from that. There's what we're doing today. That's really important and helpful, isn't it? To be worshipping in community together. But again, being real, and as we come to church and as we hear what might be said in the leading of worship and through the prayer ministry, or what might be said in terms of a sermon from the front, to really seek to try to hear God's voice and to allow that to shape us and to shape the person we're becoming. I realise that this past year hasn't been all that easy a year, has it? Maybe that's putting it mildly for you guys as a church. But I really pray that God will strengthen you and you'll allow him to give you strength by dwelling in his word, taking on board what God's word says and allowing it to shape the kind of person you're becoming, but allowing it to shape the group of people that you're becoming by resting in God's presence, by making some space for God so that you can listen to what it might be that he might want to say to you and what he might want to do, what he might want to tweak in your life. And then by doing that together, by not journeying alone, but journeying with God's people. This verse says, so let's do it. Come into the presence of God. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out. Not avoiding worshipping together, not avoiding being with one another, but spurring each other on. My prayer is that you'll know God's strength, that you'll know God's guidance, and maybe stuff that he might want to tweak in you and in you collectively, and that you will know the smile of God's face on you as you look to the future. Let's quieten our hearts then as we pray. Father in heaven, you're a good, good Father. You're a wonderful God. Thank you that you always want the best for us and your desire is to come alongside us. But we confess that we don't always make time for you to do that. Forgive us, we pray, when we fill our life with lots of things, lots of stuff. Forgive us when we go alone and plough our own furrow. Forgive us for those times when we choose not to live your way. Forgive us for those times when we have got no interest in learning what your way is through your word. Help us as we look to the future to make space for you in our lives and to allow you to keep shaping us and moulding us and forming us. Lord, as we come to take bread and wine, remembering that it was because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus that we are even able to have a relationship with you, our Father in heaven. As we take bread and wine, may this be a time for us, as it were, to re-surrender to you and place you on the throne of our lives and to commit ourselves to seeking once again, to living your way, and to allowing you to shape us.